Thank you very much. I understand that today has become a day when we are focused on the topic of secular law versus halacha, erkaos, some topics of non-Jewish courts. This is Parshas Mishpatim, and there's so much substance of halacha in Parshas Mishpatim, and it turned out that both Rabbi Willig and myself are discussing not anything within the substance of the parasha, but just the very beginning, where the Torah tells us that Elam Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefnehem, that these are the laws that you should place in front of them, that you should place these laws, the Torah says Lefnehem, and it doesn't say Lahem. Right? The Torah doesn't say that you should place these laws, but it says place these laws, lifnehem, in front of them. So, source 1 and 2 that we have over here basically tells us that, oh, there's a halacha of lifnehem below lifnei ovdei kochavim. There's a halacha that you have to place the laws in front of a bezdin and not in front of non-Jews. In other words, there's a prohibition of adjudicating in front of a secular court. Now, I hope I'm not getting in trouble. I see there's at least one judge sitting right in front of me. I hope I'm not going to get in trouble with what we say. But this is a very serious aveira. The halacha of judging in front of secular courts is not just a minor detail. It's not just part in one specific halacha, but it's the entire apparatus of Dine Torah really has to be in front of a Jewish court. And Chazal take this Aveira very seriously. Just to give you an example of how seriously the Aveira is taken, I did not put this on the source sheet, but Rabbeinu Bachyai, at the beginning of this week's parasha, on the Elam Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefnehem, so he gives an introduction. He writes, Yadua, it's well known. Whenever someone says it's well known, that means I'm going to make the type of argument that you'll agree with every premise, and as we move along, you'll recognize how serious it actually is. Rabbeinu Bachyai says, Yadua ki haritzicha min ha'averos ha'chamurah shebatorah. It's well known that murder is really bad. Right? That's well known. Va'onesh gadol v'chamur ma'od l'pishu shofif dama adam. And the punishment that one gets for murder is very serious because you are spilling blood. It's a terrible thing. And ma'abed nefesh achas min ha'olam is not only destroying this person, but it's destroying all the future generations that will come from this person. And therefore, if you save a person, it's like you're saving all the future generations, like the Mishnayos have in Sanhedrin. So everyone knows that murder is really bad. Zot Rabbeinu Bachyai, afal pi shavon haritzicha chamor, even though ritzicha is chamor, but gezel and chilul Hashem is even more chamor. Stealing and desecrating Hashem's name, gezel and chilul Hashem is even more serious than ritzicha. And he knows this because Cain killed, and yet there is tshuva, that's a possibility. Nonetheless, for Chilul Hashem, the Mishnah says there's no tshuva. And for Gezel, there's no tshuva until you return the stolen item. And Zakt Rabbeinu Bachyai, if a person judges in front of a secular court, what you are doing is Chilul Hashem and Gezel, two averos which are more serious and more severe than Ritzicha. Because it's Chilul Hashem, like we'll see in a few minutes, because you are respecting a secular court rather than the Torah court. And there's Gezel in the sense that any winnings I get from a secular court, as a matter of, I don't know if Rabbi Willig mentioned this morning, as a matter of halacha, any winnings I get from a secular court is not mine. It's Gezel. Right? We'll talk about it in the Nesivos, and Rebbe Kiva Eger has it. Rebbe Kiva Eger writes that if I win money from a secular court, then I go and I'm a Kaddish and Isha, then I go and I get married. She's not married to me. It's Eina Mekudeshes. It's not my money. So by judging in front of a secular court, it is more serious than Ritzicha. It is one of the most serious averos in the Torah, says Rabbeinu Bachyai, and therefore we have to take this very seriously. This is not a simple, it's not a simple avera. And if you read, of course, the Rabbeinu Bachyai, he's saying the Reb Kiva Eger and the Nesivis, he's hinting at it. He's saying it's Gezel. It's Gezel, and it's as a result, because he can't do tshuva, it's even worse than Ritzicha. Now, if you continue on our source sheet, we have a section called The Reason. What's the reason for the prohibition of Erkoves? The prohibition of judging in front of non-Jews. So there seems to be a machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi tells us, Lefneihem v'lo lefnei goyim, v'afilu yagata b'din echod shehim donin oso k'dinei Yisrael. Even if you know that in this particular case they will judge the same as Jewish court judges, nonetheless, al tivieu be'erkos shalahem, shamevi dinei Yisrael lefnei goyim, mechalalas Hashem, umiyaker shem avodah zarah lehachshiva. Now the text we have here in the Rashi is lehachshiva. There's another text in Rashi, lehashbicha. But effectively, what Rashi is saying is that if you bring a case in front of a secular court, or a, for Rashi it probably means an avodah zarah court rather than a secular court, what you are doing is you are being mechalal at Hashem, you're desecrating God's name, and you're elevating, umiyaker shem avodah zarah lahachshiva, you're giving chashivos, or you're giving the ability to praise avodah zarah. When our enemies judge us, this testifies that we are raising up their avodah zarah. So according to Rashi, the Isser of Erkaos Shel Nochrim is a subset of the prohibition of avodah zarah. Right? Avodah zarah, we know, is in the context of the Torah, it's about as bad as you could get. Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg in the Sefer HaKtava Kabbalah points out that avodah zarah should be something that we give absolutely no chashivas to at all. All the Torah's descriptions of avodah zarah are in the most ugly terms. Vatira shikutzehem vehgilu lehem. When you think about those words, shikutzim means like fat, disgusting. No? Gilulehem is waste products. The Torah's description of avodah zarah is always the most disgusting, base, most low things. And that's the proper attitude. We are not supposed to be machshiv avodah zarah at all. In fact, there's a famous Gemara that kol leitzanusa asura chutz mi leitzanusa d'avodah zarah, that all leitzanus is forbidden. For me, this is one of the hardest halachas, I have to admit. I'm not telling jokes, it's very difficult. But all leitzanus is forbidden. It doesn't mean telling jokes, I'll explain in a minute. But the Gemara says that all leitzanus is forbidden besides leitzanus of avodah zarah. Putner in the Maimer and Purim. You can tell my brother-in-law that I'm calling Rav Putner, he'll be happy. Rav Putner in the Maimer in Purim explains that leitzanus means something that has hashivos if you lower it down. That's the term of leitzanus. That something that deserves our respect, when I lower that respect, that's called leitzanus. And all leitzanus is forbidden. Halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to elevate things properly. We have to be machshiv things when they deserve it. Shalom Karmi has a famous introduction to one of the volumes of tradition where he speaks about how he thinks it's very important to educate high school boys in particular to follow sports. Because when you follow sports, you're machshiv things. I recognize that, you know, pick the athlete has certain talents and skills and abilities that I will never be able to attain, and I'm machshiv it. And so much of our world today is about bittul. Is about, right? You know the way like a yeshiva guy has the ability to just make with the back of that, right? What is it? And Shalom Karmi points out that no, we want to be machshiv things. And that's what the Gemara is saying, explains Rav Putner. Kol leitzanus asura. Leitzonos, taking something that should be important and lowering it, that's always forbidden, with the exception of Leitzonus and Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah should have no chashivos. Our attitude toward Avodah Zarah should be that it is disgusting, it is base, there is zero value that Avodah Zarah has, and explains Rashi, that's the nature of the Isser of Erkaos. Because by going to a non-Jewish court, and you can imagine, you walk into the courts, often they have these imposing statues, sometimes of Greek gods that stand for justice. And that means that what we are doing is we are being machshiv avodah zarah. We are giving it some significance. We're giving it some value. And says Rashi, that's the problem. The reason for the Isra Ka'os is because it's a subset of avodah zarah. In the sense, I'm not supposed to give avodah zarah any chashivos at all. That's Rashi's comment. The Rambam, however, has a different take on the prohibition of Erkaos. If you look at source number four tells me that for the Rambam, kol hadon b'dayonei akum u'be'erkaos shalahem, afal pi shahayu dinehem kidinei Yisrael, hareza rasha, u'ki'ilu cheirev v'gideif, the Heirim Yad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that one judges Kohadon, one adjudicates a case B'Dayoni Akum with non-Jewish judges and in non-Jewish courts, even though they are judging the same as Dina Yisrael, right? That's the same as Rashi. But the Rambam doesn't mention that the prohibition is because of Avodah Zarah. Zak the Rambam, the reason for the prohibition is Kibul Chirech the Gideif Veherim Yad B'Toras Moshe. It's as if I am, how do you translate Heir Figideh? It's like blasphemy. You're blaspheming. Right? It's blasphemy. And Heirim Yad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu means I'm raising a hand out. It's like an outstretched arm with a fist made. That's how I imagine it. B'Toras Moshe. I'm like slamming the Torah. The Levush explains that what the Rambam means is I am saying that the Jewish people have no law system, have no Torah. The prohibition of Erkaos for the Rambam is not so much because I'm being machshiv the Avodah Zarah, but rather it's because I'm pulling down the Torah. It's not so much I'm elevating them, that's why Rashi says it, but because I am pulling us down. It's Heirim Yad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu, and he quotes these psukim, etc., like we have. We'll talk about the continuation of the Rambam as we move on. But the fact is, Rashi and the Rambam seem to have different reasons for the Isser Verkaos. For Rashi, it's because of Avodah Zarah. For the Rambam, it's because you are pulling down our Isser, you're pulling down the Torah. That seems to be the basics. Based on this, one could argue just a few basic nafgaminas, and we'll talk about how we pass in a few minutes, but is it permitted to go to a secular court when the judges are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Now, as a matter of technical halacha, the Tashbetz is quoted by all the poskim who says it's aser, no? That the Isser Verkaos applies even if the judge is not an Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the technical sense. We all know the literature that maybe even Christians today might not be Ovdei Avodah Zarah based on a difficult read of a Taisus in Sanhedrin. Certainly, there are many people today in our world who are not people who really believe in any religion. They're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah by any classical definition of Avodah Zarah. And one could argue that according to Rashi, there's no prohibition in going to a secular court. There's a prohibition going to an Avodah Zarah court. There's no prohibition going to a secular court. This, I think, is highly suggestive, but it seems to emerge from Rashi. According to the Rambam, though, I would contend that it's still forbidden. Because according to Rambam, the Isser is that I'm being Meirim Yad the Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning to say, what I'm doing is I'm pulling the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu down. Like the Levush explained, I'm saying that we don't have a law system. Right? If we have a law system, use our law system. Right? The fact that I'm going to secular court, for the Rambam, I would say, would be usser. And according to Rashi, it would be permitted. Now, I should note that the Rambam begins Dayomei Akum. Right? Akum means real Oivdei Avodah Zarah. In the Frankel edition of the Rambam, which, whatever, my father can tell you the story about how Shabtai Frankel owned all of the real estate in Newark that he rented to the state of New Jersey for like 100 years or something, and that's how the Rambam was published, from his real estate deal that he made in Newark. But the Rambam in the Frankel edition doesn't have Akum, he has Goyim.
I think the word Akum today is...
Now, the word Akum and Goyim is probably interchangeable, so this is certainly not indicative of anything. I agree with that, Chazan. But at the same time, the reasoning behind the Rambam, especially if you put it together with the word Goyim instead of the word Akum, would indicate that the prohibition should apply even to secular courts. According to Rashi, however, I would contend the prohibition should apply only to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. As a matter of halacha, right, all the Achronim follow the Tashbetz that the prohibition applies even to non-Jews who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. If I could just have to maybe hold question for a few minutes, because there's a few points that I want to make. But the first nafkamina, I think, does emerge. There's another issue.
What?
The Lashon of Rashi, what do you mean? There's Bilo Hashem and Miyakir Shem Avodah Zarah. I would argue that what Rashi means is that the two of them come together. The Chilo Hashem is the fact that Miyakir Avodah Zarah, but without Avodah Zarah, I don't know if there's a Chilo Hashem involved. I'm not sure within Rashi. Again, this is speculation. I'm not convinced, but certainly Rashi is closer to the direction of assuming that the prohibition is only for Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam is further away from that. There's another nafkamina that one could perhaps construct based on one of the big issues today in Israel. It's not only today, it's been going on since Hakamat HaMdina. The question is it permitted to judge a case in the Bagatz, in the secular Israeli court system? And it's well known that the Chazon Ish was extremely opposed to judging cases in the Bagatz. I actually give you the Chazon Ish in number 8. The Chazon Ish writes that even though there's no Dayan who can don Mishpatei HaTorah, let's say we don't have anyone around in our community who knows Choshen Mishpat. There's no one who knows the halachas properly. And as a result, you have to appoint a Baal Seichel Lefi Musarei HaAdam. You have to appoint someone who's just a logical thinker, because there's no one around who knows Choshen Mishpat. Still, Inam Rishayim Lekabel Aleihem Chukei Amim O Lechokek Chukim Shashofet Kol Din Shalafanav Lefi Hanira Elav Zal Bechlav Shara. Zuck the Chazon Ish, that if a judge takes every case as it is on his or her own, and the judge judges it based on the merits, so that is okay. But the judge and the system, you can't have, the Chazon Ish explains, you can't have a set of laws by which you judge by, even if you're Jews. Ve'ein nikar hadamash azu makar mayim chayim laso baros Nishbarim. Aba im yaskimu achukim, harihim mechalam es haTorah, val zenemar shaltasim lefneihem. Zot v'chazon ish, if they judge, even if Jews are judging based on another legal system, that is being mechalel Torah. And about that, we have the halacha, we have this week's parashah. Eilo ha-mishpotim asher tasim lefneihem. And there's no nafkusa, just to spell it out even more clearly. There ain't nafkusa, there's no difference. Bein ba lefnei einam Yisraelim, bein Yisrael sheshofet al pi chukim biduyim. It doesn't matter, says the Chazon Ish, if they are judging, if a Jew is judging, or a non-Jew is judging, but if the Jew is judging based on made-up laws, it's also forbidden. The Ode har hadavar yoser meguna. Sheimiras mishpatei haTorah or mishpatei haHevel. Zechut Chazan says even worse to go to Bagatz than it is to go to a court in America, where, assuming that there's a non-Jewish judge in your particular courtroom, it's even worse because you are exchanging, you're exchanging Torah law for this false law. The Chazon Ish was very opposed to the secular court system, even though Jews are
running it,
but still Zuk the Chazon Ish, that's the Isser of Erkaos. For my bar mitzvah, someone in the shul who was a broad-thinking individual bought me a set, which I have to admit I did not use probably for the 15 years or until after my bar mitzvah. He bought me a set of Mishpat Ivri from Shofet Menachem Elon. Shofet Menachem Elon was actually, he was a friend of my father's. He was nifted around 2 years ago. He was a Shofet in the Supreme Court in Israel, but he was a Chevroner. He learned in Yeshiva in Chevron. He knew an awful lot, and he wrote a massive work. It was translated by Melvin Sykes into English. If you are in...
By who?
Melvin Sykes from Baltimore translated Mishpat Ivri into English. It's really a wonderful, wonderful book, just in terms of the Maror Mekomos, everything. It's very well done. And Shofet Menachem Elon Zichrono the Lebracha, in his Mishpat Ivri, he makes a strong case that Bagatz should be permitted. Now you understand why this is so, but although he himself was a Mishpat Ivri guy, which means he was trying to use halacha as a basis of Israeli law. Israel does not have a constitution. There have been attempts to write a constitution for Israel, including famously by the second Ashkenazi chief rabbi, the first chief rabbi of the modern state of Israel, Reb Herzog Zichrono Livracha, wrote a sefer called Chukali Yisrael Pi Mishpatei HaTorah. He wrote a sefer trying to write a constitution for Israel based on Torah law, and there, all the Mishpat Ivri people are trying to use halacha. Their assumption is that today in Israel you judge a case based on British common law mostly, and some Turkish law that just crept into the system. But their assumption is what they're trying to accomplish, at least, is that when there's a lacuna in the system, when the legal system doesn't have clear precedent, British common law is common law. In other words, it's not statute, right? There are no law books, it's just case law. I'm sure everyone here can correct me if I'm making a mistake, but the Mishpat Ivri people, Shofet Elon and the whole Chevra, are trying to first establish that when there's no clear precedent, we should use halacha. And moreover, halacha should become a basis, maybe not the basis, but a basis for Israeli law. So Shofet Elon, in his Mishpat Ivri, he tries to argue that it is permitted to judge in front of secular courts, meaning Jewish courts that are judging based on another legal system, based on British common law or some other system. He argues that that's permitted based on a Gemara here in Sanhedrin. It's source number 6 and 7. The Gemara in Sanhedrin writes that there's a case in the third parish, Zabla, I could pass your dayan, you could pass my dayan. Correct the Gemara, how's that permitted? Kokamina the apostle Dayani, like you just walk around and saying, you're a apostle, you can't do that. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Berkos Shabasura Shanu. We're talking about a case of Erkaos Shabasura. That's what the Gemara says. What are Erkaos Shabasura? Right? These are courts in Erkaos Shabasura. What are Erkaos Shabasura? What are these? So the Mi'iri comments, Erkaos Shabasura Shalom Hayu Baki in the Din Torah. These people were not experts in halacha. Rather, they judge for Omer Hadas. Omer Hadas is just Seichel. And Chukim v'nimusim. That sounds like laws. In other words, these are Erkaos Shabasura. They're using the law in Surya. Surya is modern-day Syria, no?
More or less.
So Erkaos Shabasura are using law systems of the Mi'iri. So says Shofet Menachem Elon, based on this, one could argue that What's the problem? If you have a Jewish court that is judging based on secular... A Jewish court that's judging based on some other law system, the Me'iri says it's permitted. That's his argument. It happens that Dayan Avram Sherman, who's now the head of the Bez Din in Tel Aviv, and actually years beforehand, Rabbi Bleich, but because he wrote it in English, no one knows about this, but Rabbi Bleich in an article in Tradition, Volume 34, they both have the same deflection of the proof from the Me'iri, which is that the Me'iri is not saying that they have to judge based on Chukim Beni Musim. The Me'iri is suggesting that you have three options. Omed Hadas, Chukim, or two options, Omed Hadas and Chukim Beni Musim. In other words, either or. If they are only judging based on secular law, maybe that's going to be a problem. But if they are judging based on Omed Hadas or Chukim Beni Musim, in other words, that they have a right or an option to say, you know what, I'm going to judge this case based on what I feel is right, and I'll throw out the legal system, so that would be permitted. In other words, what Rav Sherman and Rav Bleich are suggesting is that there's no proof from the Me'iri that having a Jewish court that's judging based on non-Jewish law is permitted, because all the Me'iri is saying is that when you have a choice of which system to use, you have a choice, I'll use the legal system or I'll use Omed Hadas. That's permitted.
Okay.
This is the discussion. Now, one could argue, by the way, most poskim assume that Shofet Menachem Elon is not correct. Chacham Avad Yosef in the Tshuva and Chelek Dalar Rav Yabiya Omer, and the Sitzelias and Chelek Yud Aleph, and Rav Wozner, etc. And it's not so surprising that Har Tzvi and Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog also felt that it's also to go to the Bagatz. They all feel that the Me'iri notwithstanding, either we reject the Me'iri or the Me'iri, there might be other Rishonim who disagree, but the fact is they assume that it's usher to go to Jewish judges who are judging based on non-Jewish law. Now, one could argue that this issue might be totally, this might depend on two different girsos in the Rambam. In other words, let's go slowly. According to Rashi, I would argue that the prohibition of erkaos is that you cannot judge in front of a judge who's an Oved Avodah Zarah. That's what Rashi is saying. There's some Avodah Zarah element. Within the Rambam, that we're not dealing with Avodah Zarah, so then one could argue maybe it's permitted. But this depends on two different girsos. The way we have the text in the Rambam, the standard text in number 4, Kol Hadon B'dayonei Akom, if you judge with non-Jewish judges. However, in the Franco Rambam, they take out a yud. No? Kol Hadon B'dinei. Shteit nish Dayonei, shteit Dinei. The difference between Dayonei and Dinei is precisely our issue. Right? In other words, the way the Franco Rambam has it. Now again, the Franco Rambam is based on Kisvei Yad, but they didn't use all the Kisvei Yad of the Rambam. There are certain Kisvei Yad that are available now in, what's it called, in Yeshivat Malei Adumim. They have a group who's trying to put together a more Mechkari edition of the Rambam, but it certainly is better than the standard Rambam, and in the Ksav Yad that the Franco is based on, it says Dinei Goyim rather than Dayonei, which means that even if I have a Jewish judge, but I am judging based on Dinei Goyim, that's forbidden. Right? In other words, according to the Franco Rambam, I think, this is my own idea, but I like my idea sometimes, but I think that the Rambam is really telling me that the Bagatz would be forbidden. Just going back to this Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam very quickly, one of the surprising things that many note is that the Monei HaMitzvos don't count. You know, we have 613 mitzvos in Judaism. What those 613 mitzvos are is obviously subject to huge debate. But we believe, based on the Gemara and the Machlokes, that there are 613 mitzvahs, although I should note that the Ramban, in one place, questions this entire assumption. He says, Meheta Tesi, we pass in like Reb Simloi, right? Maybe we hold that there are fewer than 613 mitzvahs. That's what the Ramban entertains, but I think it's pretty accepted that there are 613 mitzvahs. Everyone asks, how come the Monei HaMitzvahs, by and large, do not quote a prohibition of Erkol Shel Nachrim? And Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlow, in Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlow, basically invented a Sefer HaMitzvahs of Reb Sadia Gaon. Reb Sadia Gaon, in many Sephardi communities, so Shavuos night they recite something called Azharot, which are long poems. I don't know if they do some Yeshiva Flatbush or not, but Shavuos night in many Sephardi communities they recite long poems that give you a list of all Tayag mitzvahs. But by all yakis?
Yeah, and
okay, so that's... So, it's the same type of idea. If you want to know, many ask the question, L'may nafgamina, what are the 613 mitzvahs? It's a nice intellectual exercise. Who cares what halacha? The question is, what your text appears. Okay, that's an important nafgamina. Nafgamina is in terms of some assume that when the melech has, when the king has to write a Sefer Torah, King didn't actually write a Sefer Torah. What he did was he wrote a list of the 613 mitzvahs. It wasn't feasible to walk around with the full Sefer Torah your entire time, but you could have a little kameya, a little chart with 613 mitzvahs. That's what the Balei HaTosfos have in the Chumash. But Reb Sadia Gaon wrote a poem to recite Shavuos night, and Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlow decided to make that small poem, which is probably like 100 lines, he made it into a 3-volume work. And Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlow deals at length with this question as how come the Monei HaMitzvos don't count the prohibition of going to Erkos, and he suggests what the Tshuvas Mekor Baruch have and others, that maybe it's only Drabonon. Maybe the prohibition of going to non-religious courts is not a Doraisa prohibition. Then he says, well, it seems to be that it's Doraisa based on the simple reading of the Gemara that we began with. But maybe the reason why it's not quoted is because it's a subset of this of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is mentioned so many times in the Torah, and this is part of Avodah Zarah. That would be true of Ha'ora in the Rashi world. In the Rambam world, the question is much more severe. How come it's not listed as one of the mitzvos? The Rambam also does not list it in his Minyan HaMitzvos, and that question still has to be grappled with. Now, so it could be because of the Kukosein Lo Kaseleichu, but the Kukosein Lo Kaseleichu also is a subset of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam understands the Kukosein Lo Kaseleichu in the sense of that Jews have to be different than Goyim, that we shouldn't... Right? The Rambam is the only one who has a positive sense of the Kukosein, that we are obligated to dress like Hasidim for the Rambam. You have to dress differently than the society around you. Right? Most Rishonim understand the Kukosein Lo Kaseleichu in the negative sense. Don't do what they do. To assume that's part of the Chukosim Lo Seilechu, to positively be different than the Goyim, it could be. It's actually a very good suggestion. If your official Perlow basically leaves it schwer on the Rambam, he doesn't understand why the Rambam does not quote it, but I think your suggestion is very good. Okay. One of the big questions that comes up is in Shulchan Aruch, we have a case. This is already, if you're following on the sheet, it's on page 3. It's Roman numeral 4. We assume that using Roman numerals is not part of the Kukul Seim Mosei Leifel. It's still permitted. But Roman numeral number 4, sources 9, etc., it says that if the how you say Yad Ovdei Kochavim Tekifa Baldino Alom Be'enu Yachol Ahalf Lahatzil Mimenu B'dayone Yisrael Yifte'enu L'dayone Yisrael Tzvila Im Arotza Lavo, nota rishus mi bezden, umatil b'dayone alude kochavim, miyad baldino. The halacha is that if I'm dealing with a strong person and I can't get my money from this fellow based on Dayone Yisrael, so then I have something called Heter Erkos. Then I can go to a bezden, and the bezden, first yitbe'enu l'dayone Yisrael tchila, I summon the fellow, I summon my opponent to a bezdin. If he doesn't want to come, so the bezdin gives me permission to go to a non-Jewish court. Now this halacha is very difficult. It's very difficult when you think about it. because if the Isra of Erkaos is so severe, right, it's like Avodah Zarah, it's worse than Ritzicha, like we began with. So, just because I'll lose a few dollars, never gives me a heter to violate an Aveira in the Torah. No, I'm not allowed to work on Shabbos, even though I'm going to lose money. I can't do it. Right? There's no heter because of that. Cholam Moed and Davar HaAved requires an explanation, but generally the approach to Cholam Moed is because the nature of Isra Melacha Cholam Moed is that we want you to enjoy Yantiv. There's a mitzvah simplest Yantiv. And going to work, most people don't enjoy going to work. Most people enjoy Sundays more than work days. And as such, the Isser, if I could just ask the whole question for 2 minutes, I just want to finish this point and then we'll go on. But the fact is that there, although we're Mekol on Davar HaAved from Lachon Cholam Moed, that's a special reason because over there the nature of the prohibition is because of the track of my Simchas Yontif. But ordinarily, just because I lose money, there's no heter to... there's no heter to violate a prohibition. So what's the heter to violate the prohibition of going to a non-Jewish court based on the fact that I'll lose money?
Because if I go to the Beis Din first, it shows I'm not being miyaker.
Okay, wait. Good. So there is a huge literature, before we get to that point, there is a huge literature that is based on, some suggest that maybe the heter of Erkaos is based on a din of Shlichus. Based on Dinah Shlichus. In other words, that the non-Jewish court is working as a shaliach of the Beis Din. And the halacha is that because the non-Jewish court is working for the Jewish court, that's why it's going to be permitted. This is the approach that Rav Kook, when he was pretty young, I believe he was still in yeshiva, he wrote a sefer called Be'er Eliyahu, which is a commentary on the Bir Hagra at the beginning of Choshen Mishpat. I think the Chazon Ish is quoted in the Pe'er Hadir, and the biography is saying that if you want to know how to learn well in a traditional Litvish way, you should read Rav Kook's Tshuvas and the Be'er Eliyahu, because this is the Mahalach of Alojin. This is the way they learned. And Rav Kook goes very carefully through every Bir Hagra at the beginning of Choshen Mishpat. And Rav Kook notes, it's in Chavav Osei, he points out that the Gra is mitzayin on this halacha that you're allowed to take someone to a non-Jewish court. The Gra is mitzayin gittin peches, and it's Hesus over there. And Zak Rav Kook, what the Gra means, that there's a halacha meket mu'usa ayyidei nochrem is puzzle. If you force a get through a non-Jewish court, the get is invalid. Get mu'usa ayyidei Yisrael. We don't talk about this. It's been abused. But get mu'usa ayyidei Yisrael is the get is kosher. Ayyidei nochrim is forbidden. However, if the Beis Din Shel Yisrael tells the goyim to force a get, then it's going to be permitted. When they say asei mashi Yisrael osim, or asei mashi Yisrael omrim, if they say do what the Jews are doing, right? And Tosis over there explains that obviously this halacha is based on some sort of shlichus, the way Rav Kook understands the Taisus. It's based on some sort of shlichus, because the idea is that, what, you don't expect the Beis Din to themselves go and beat somebody up. But you can, I can imagine a Beis Din, like 90-year-old man, long beards, and these aren't the people who I'd be scared of in the dark alley. So, obviously they have other people who do their work for them. So they can have a non-Jewish court do the work for them. That's what Rav Kook says in explanation of the Gra based on that sugya. If that's the case, so one could argue that the heter of a Beis Din telling me that I'm allowed to go to Erkaos is because the non-Jewish court becomes a shaliach of the Beis Din. If that's the case, so then the heter is an absolute requirement. Let's say I know that my opponent is somebody who there's no chance on earth he's going to listen to Beis Din. No chance whatsoever. Do I have to go through the formality of going to the court and having the court give a heter erkaos? There's a big discussion in the Achron, and Machuas Maharshah versus everybody else. Right? One could argue, plausibly, that you don't technically need the heter of the Beis Din. The heter of Beis Din is just the way of ensuring or making of guaranteeing that this fellow is someone who's won't sayistina, this fellow is someone who won't listen. But everyone knows that this fellow won't listen. So Mali Elitzara Hazos. Why do you have to go through Bezdin? According to this explanation, it's based on Shlichus. One would have to go through Bezdin. Now there is a problem that Rav Kook raises, which is that the Gemara in the beginning of the second part of Kedushin teaches us that there's no Shlichus for Nachum. So how could this possibly be based on Shlichus? But for that there are explanations. We know there's a famous Truv in the Dvar Avraham in Chelek Aleph Simin Yud Gimel Ostalit, where the Dvar Avraham points out that for certain types of Shlichus, non-Jews are acceptable. Only for the types of Shlichus that there's an activity that I can do, and only I can do, but I want to designate you to do it for me, so that you become like me, Shluchos Adam Kimoso, only there are non-Jews excluded from the parasha Shlichus. But if it's a type of activity that could be done by anyone, for example, Mishloach Manos, that's the context of that, you know, the famous Tshuva of the Binyan Siyan, where the Binyan Siyan says that Mishloach Manos has to be done Ayidei Shaliach. The story goes that when Rav Plutner went to meet the Chofetz Chaim, he asked, it's actually quoted in the Sefer Zikaron Rav Plutner, he asked the Chofetz Chaim a few questions on the Mishnah Brura, including this, like, how can you pass on, like, this being in seeing that Mishloach Manos has to be done Ayidei Shaliach? So the Chofetz Chaim answered, "Ven mir haben geschriben, haben mir gut durchgetan." When we wrote it, we thought it over very well. The "we" might be an editorial "we," or it could be, the Pashtus is that the Mishnah Berurah is written by many different authors. That's already a longer discussion. I'm going to have some sharing about this topic. But the fact is that there's a binyan siyan that Mishloach Manos is done Ayidei Shaliach, yet the minhag ha'olam is that it's the little kids who bring Mishloach Manos to everybody. They're not Bar Bas Mitzvah. They're not B'nei Shlichus. So how does that help? That's the question. So some suggest that this is why the minhag developed, that you pay the kids for giving the Mishloach Manos, that becomes like Yad Polk, Yad Balabayis, that's already razzle dazzle. The simple answer is that this isn't the type of Shlichus that requires the real dinim of Shlichus. This is the type of Shlichus that it's just bringing from point A to point B. It's not something I have to do. Right? If it's the type of thing that I have to do, and only I can create the halos, like giving a gut to my wife or the like, that only I can create the halos, so then we have rules of Shlichus. But something that, like Mishloach Manos, we don't have rules of Shlichus, so even a goy is kosher for. Even a kotan is kosher for. So one could argue in defense of Rav Kook's question, Rav Kook asks, how can Shlichus possibly help? That no, maybe we're talking about a different type of Shlichus. That's certainly a suggestion, but the fact is that this argument of Shlichus, though, still doesn't work. You see, there's a machlokus in Evan Ezra Kufla Medala, a machlokus between the Rosh and the Ramah. About that case, when a Bezdin asks a Goyish Bezdin to beat someone up to give him a get. So the question is, what's the Nusach that the Goyish Bezdin has to say? The Ramah writes that the Nusach that the Goyish Bezdin has to say is Asei Mash Yisrael Omrim. You do what the Jews say. But the Rush disagrees, and the Rush says if the Goyish Bezdin beats him up and says, give a get, that also is Kasher. That Machlokas seems to be that whether we're operating with Shlichus. Because Shlichus only makes sense if I'm operating on your behalf. I'm doing something for you. Asei Mash Yisrael Omrim. But if it's the type of thing that I'm not saying Asei Mash Yisrael Omrim, if I'm saying you have to give a get, that sounds like it's my own jurisdiction, right? So in that case, it would not help according to the Ramah, but it would help according to the Rush. The fact is that we paskin in Eben HaEzer Kuflam Medaled like the Rush, not like the Ramah. And the Sma here in the Halachos of Erkos and Simon Chavav also passes like the Rush, not like the Ramah. So this approach of Shlichus also does not seem to work. Others suggest a different approach, by the way. This literature is found in the Paradis Yosef on this week's Parasha and in the Kli Chemda on this week's Parasha. But others suggest that maybe the reason why the reason why a Bezin can give a heter to go to Erkos is because of a Halach of Aved Nishdina L'Nafshe. The din is that if I have a chov barer, if I know that you owe me $100, so I don't have to go through Bezdin and collect the money. I can go and I can collect it for myself. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim what that means. Can I only take the item that you stole from me? Can I take an item of equal value? Those are different opinions in Chosh Mishpatim and Dalet. But the fact is that maybe the lumdus of going to Erkaos is because it's Avirin Ashtina Lanashe. Maybe the pshat is that it's permitted because I'm getting my item for myself. And the fact that I'm using you to do it doesn't matter. I'm taking it myself. I'm using goyim, but it doesn't matter. This is difficult because the Ramah writes in Siman Dalet that we assume that we don't say Avirin Ashtina Lanashe through non-Jews. So what's the heter of... what's the head of our calls? So it seems that the head of our calls is based on what we're saying. That depends on this machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. According to the Rambam, that the iser of our calls is because you are not supposed to be meirim yad b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. So over here, I'm not arguing, I'm not saying that there's no halacha. Adarabba, I am respecting halacha. I went to a bezdin. Once I go to Bezdin, that's the heter for the Rambam. But according to Rashi, one could argue that there is no heter of Erkos, that this concept does not exist at all. Because push comes to shove, I'm still being machshav avodah zarah. And even though the Bezdin gave a heter, right, for the Rambam, I could hear that the Bezdin gives a heter, that means that at least the Jewish people have a Torah. At least there's some substance. But for the Rambam, but for Rashi, I don't know if there's a head. Let's just hold for 2 minutes. It seems to me that this is true based on the following discussion. If you follow along in sources 10, 11, 12, 13, etc. The Gemara Bava Kamma has a whole discussion of pitgam anami, of like statements that people make. How do you know this thing that people say? Right, you call your friend and he doesn't respond, so throw a big wall at him. How do you know that expression? So he calls the pasuk from Yechezkel, Yanti Atif Alot Tihart, Mitumo Seifo Tetari Ol. Okay, so Zayin. Based on this Gemara, which seems to just be a statement, the Rosh over here in Bava Kamma quotes, Mikan Pasuk Repaltoi, it's in source 11. The Paltoi, who's one of the Gaonim, he passes that Reuven Sheishol Tavia Al Shimon Umisarev Lavo Imoladin. If Reuven has a case against Shimon, but Shimon refuses to come, Shereshay Lahavil Arkol Shonachin Kdei Lahotzi Yeshalom Mitachas Yado. But you call your friend, he doesn't respond, so therefore throw the wall at him. That's what the Paltoi says, and Lagos Maimini on this Rambam quotes that the Yosef to the Elam also brings that this is the source that you can have the goyim bring the case. If you call the friend, you know that he's not sayestina, you know he's not the type of person who listens to Bezdin, so then what you're allowed to do is just throw the wall at him. You're allowed to just you're allowed to go to Erkos. Now this is already a raya. However, Rashi doesn't learn the Gemara like this. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi here in Bava Kamma. Karis chavrach v'lo anach. You call your friend and he doesn't respond. So we're saying what that means, that you're calling your friend to din and he doesn't respond. So then throw the wall at him. Heter akais. That's what we're learning. But Rashi doesn't learn like this. Rashi learns, and this is my raya, that Rashi would disagree with this entire yisod. Rashi says, karis chavrach l'hochicho v'lo anach. I call my friend to give him musar, and he doesn't respond, so then I'm allowed to throw the wall at him. What that probably means, if it's a halachic statement at all, is what we have in Yerideya Shin Lama Dalet. There's a discussion in the Ramah, am I allowed to put someone into Nidui if I know that by being put into Nidui, the person will go off the derech? Right, there's a whole discussion now about whether the Jewish community in Amsterdam should reinstate Spinoza. My guess is that it's never happening. But when someone is put into Nidui, often that means that the person goes further and further away. Rashi says, Karis chavrach v'lo anach. You call your friend to give him musar, and he doesn't respond. You could put him in Nidui, even though, you could throw a big wall against him, even though that might mean potentially he'll go further and further away. Maybe that's a pshat in the Rashi. But Hayotze, what I'm trying to argue is as follows, that the Rambam has a heter of Erkos. Because according to the Rambam, the whole yesod of Erkos is, I shouldn't be meirim yad b'toras Moshe. And therefore, what I'm trying to say is, you know what, I can't, I have to believe that the Torah speaks about this. So once I go to a Beis Din, I know the Torah speaks about it. There's a heter of the Torah. That's okay. But for Rashi, that it's based on Avodah Zarah, I don't know if I could be makel on any Isser of Avodah Zarah at all, just because I'll lose money. And even going to Beis Din. So Beis Din tells me I could worship Avodah Zarah. Chas v'chalila. We have very bad terms about such Beis Din who say that you could worship Avodah Zarah. It seems to me that Rashi completely does not hold to this halacha of Heter Erkaos. So these are just some of the points I wanted to mention. I had more to say, but let's take a couple of questions and then we'll break. Yeah, please.
And you have a question for Rashi. Since he said, if the person makes clear, I'm only going to the Bezin of the Erkaos because they have the political, legal power, that's not even the Avodah Zarah itself. That's nothing to do with
situation when it's not Avodah Zarah, I would hear that Rashi, that should be permitted. But if it's an Avodah Zarah court, I don't know if you could be make on going to an Avodah Zarah court in that situation. Maybe in a secular court today, which is not forbidden at all according to Rashi, yes. I mean, I would agree with that. But it's not based on the heter that Beis Din gives.
Perhaps the right is what you're saying. The Rambam doesn't say just because they had Joseph. Even a Jewish court, if you have Musmachim and you take a Joseph,
I actually thought of that. Yashikala, thank you. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that he, in a certain level, is equating the prohibition of Lufnei Akum with Nehad Yotos, which means that both prohibitions are because you're not going where you should go. And if I don't have recourse to real dayonim, so there is a heter of erkaos. There is a heter of hedyotos. So maybe for the Ramban, the same would be true by erkaos. And Elchanami, I think that's correct. The Ramban, Al HaTorah, does not say that. The Ramban writes that he thinks hedyotos and erkaos are two separate dinim, and kiblu alayhu helps by hedyotos, it doesn't help by erkaos. In other words, the two parties can accept hedyotos, but the two parties have no right to accept erkaos. That's what the Ramban writes. One could argue that the Ramban is disagreeing with the Ramban. Are there any other questions? If it's brief, yeah.
I just wanted to check that we mentioned a lot, and let's say it's permitted in Avodah Zarah, and I'll point this out, that's in Avodah Zarah, that's okay, so Yutas, I don't carry it. So therefore, you mentioned the essence of Chukas HaGoyim, which the Rambam, the prologue in the Small Wives mentioned. It seems to me that Chukas HaGoyim, we'd seen as Hashem like three times in the Torah, so I think it's in the Sotin, so that therefore, in that prophecy, the Gemara,
we can discuss after. I just feel like okay.
What about arbitration?
So what about arbitration? So I give you some Ari Makomas here about arbitration. The Sma seems to say it's also, and most assume that's much. Rabbi Blake has an article to argue that's much. I thought at one point this should also depend on our analysis of Rashi versus the Rambam. The simple reading of Shulchan Aruch is that we hold like the Rambam, and arbitration as such should be permitted, because arbitration is basically saying that I'm not really using a legal system. We're deciding based on principles of equity, not based on law. This, of course, raises questions. Can you arbitrate when you decide to accept a specific legal system? Many cases of arbitration say that we want to arbitrate based on law X, Y, and Z. That is more complicated al pi halacha. Many assume that's permitted, providing that you're not bound exclusively by that law. That is one of the topics I wanted to discuss that I didn't really get to today. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Have a good day.
I always take two guys because I keep one clean. I know these types of people. So that's
why. I have it on my computer.
I had two copies, but one of them disappeared. That's why.
There are more copies over there if you want.
Actually, there were.